Almost twice as many as the night before, when he had begun his tale of Heracles. The boy that King Odysseus had sent to guide him led him up the steps to the doors. Omeros laid his fingertips on the smooth wood and traced a path down to the handle.
"Don't leave me yet, lad. I need you to walk me to the hearth and find me a stool."
He held an elbow towards the child, whose soft, small fingers were shaking as they took hold of it.
"There's nothing to be afraid of,"
Omeros told him, reaching up and patting his hair.
"They'll be looking at me, not you."
"Yes, sir."
"Of course, I'm much more scared than you are."
Omeros could sense the change in the boy's expression.
But you're a man."
"Ah, but I'm a blind man. Anybody can tease me, or take things from me, or hurt me, and I can't do a thing to stop them. Do you ever feel weak like that?"
He sensed the child nod.
"But you still have your eyes. So perhaps we can cross the hall together, and then we don't need to be scared of anything."
The boy's grip on his arm grew firmer, and Omeros opened one of the doors. The heat from the great hall washed over him, and his nostrils were assailed by a multitude of different smells: wood smoke and roasted meat, earth from the dirt floor and fresh sweat from the crowded bodies, leather, spiced wine, and women's perfume. The clamour of voices grew in volume, swirling around him as he entered the large room. The boy hesitated a moment, then led him forward. He could sense the movement of air as slaves hurried around him and smell the food and wine they carried. He heard his name mentioned in hushed voices from the surrounding tables and discerned the change in the atmosphere from merriment to anticipation. The heat from the fire was close now, and he could feel the presence of the pillar before his hand was guided to it. There was a clatter of wood against stone, and then the boy pulled on his elbow, indicating that he should sit.
"Thank you,"
Omeros said, lowering himself to the stool. Sensing a slave nearby, he held out a hand.
"Please, my friend, take this boy to the kitchens and give him something to eat."
The child was led away, but Omeros was only alone for a moment before someone came and stood between him and the fire.
"Hyperetus," he said, greeting his friend with a smile. "Sit down beside me."
He heard the thump of chair legs being set down on the earth floor, followed by the click of fingers.
"Food and wine for our bard?"
"Yes, my lord."
Hyperetus sat down beside Omeros and embraced him with an arm around his shoulder.
"How do you always know it's me?" he asked.
"You're usually the first to welcome me, unless your wife beats you to it. And I couldn't smell her perfume. Where is Autonoe?"
"With Penelope and Odysseus. They're keen to hear you sing tonight. Everyone is. There's not a soul missing who was here last night, and many more have turned up besides. Your reputation grows from song to song, old friend."
"Perhaps Heracles has more to do with it than me. People like to hear about a real hero."
Omeros sensed the approach of two or three slaves. A table was set down beside him, and wooden platters placed upon it, smelling of fresh bread and roast meat. Someone took his hand and slipped a cup between his fingers, holding it steady while they poured wine into it. The bard thanked them and raised the cup to his nose. The contents smelled delicious. He dipped his fingers into the liquid and shook the drops onto the floor in remembrance of the gods, then took a swallow. It tasted every bit as good as it smelled.
"A real hero?"
Hyperetus echoed uncertainly.
"There's no doubting Heracles' strength or courage. Only a great warrior could kill the Nemean lion with his bare hands and slay the Hydra. But he murdered his own children, Omeros. That's not what I call heroism."
"Was there ever a truly righteous hero?" Omeros asked.